Hello and welcome to the Body Shepherd podcast. This show gives the guidance you need for the fit life you want. Hosted by Dan Krask, certified personal trainer and owner of Body Shepherd.
So last week I had someone write me and say, hey, what's up? Are you still podcasting? What's going on with the podcast? And I said, well, I just needed the summer off. I needed to step back. I needed to get my bearings. I needed to take my own advice, quite frankly, to just find my routine in this crazy, crazy year of 2020, lean hard into it, and make sure that I was going to come out the other side in better physical, mental, and spiritual health than when this started. As hard as that may sound, I think it's doable, and I believe in everything that I said in the previous episode. But if you are listening to these episodes in the order in which they are dropped chronologically, then it's been a minute since I've published a podcast episode. I think the last one I published was in, April, I think, of this year, maybe late March, somewhere around there. Lockdowns had just started. Quarantines had just started. Coronavirus was weeks old in the United States at that point. And it was all new. It was all very scary. We were all watching the videos coming in from China and Italy of a very dire situation. And there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of unknowns on what this was going to do to our lives. We knew things were disrupted. We knew we had to stay at home. But aside from that, we just didn't know what we didn't know. And after that, after about two episodes of that podcast, I decided that it would be best if I just pause for an unknown amount of time and get my bearings and take my own advice that I believe in from episode number two of this season and focus on the health of my body, my mind, and my soul to make sure that I didn't get sucked into the void of fear as so many have. And so I'm back now, ready to put a bow on this season. This season's only going to be three episodes long, but hey, it's captured the essence of the moment of this crazy year, and I have no regrets. But I want to put a bow on this and talk about where do we go from here? What are we going to do about our physical health moving forward in a post-pandemic world? So let's chat about that. The first thing I want to talk about is weight gain. This has been something that is it's been a thing this year, I think, for everyone. Weight gain is probably something you've encountered, especially if you're my people who are in the process of a weight loss journey. Maybe you were heading into 2020 with really big goals and aspirations about, you know, what this year was going to have for you. And maybe you, like many people I know, you've been plugging away at your system, eating right, and yet the weight will just not come off, or you've plateaued, or maybe you even gained some weight. I want to tell you that the X factor for this period in time, for those of us who are either sustaining a weight loss or trying to lose weight or something like that, the X factor underneath all that's happened this year, and probably all that's about to happen with the elections that are going to take place soon, and however coronavirus ends up being addressed with either therapies or vaccines and whatever is going to come next, the underlying thread of everything is stress. Stress is our body's one of our biggest enemies for our health. I mean, I'm not going to dedicate this episode to stress, but I will say that it is directly impacting your hormones in your body that is making your body, to kind of just, you know, explain it like I'm five, it's basically making your body freak out to the degree that it wants to store away as much energy as possible because it can sense impending doom. Because that's what we're being fed every single day, either by our own connecting of the dots in our own minds, whether it's mass media, whether it's social media, whatever it is, stress in 2020 is pretty much unavoidable unless you live off the grid. And stress makes our bodies freak out. It makes our bodies more susceptible to weight gain, loss of energy. You can't get through your workouts hard. Like, stress is very bad. If you want to get into the weeds of this, you could start Googling and getting on YouTube and looking into cortisol and what that does to the body. I have a little theory, actually. I've shared this for years with training clients, but I'll share it here. And that is that when I train a man versus when I train a woman, what I hear is very different as we're going through the program together. What I hear from men is, oh, cool, let's just train hard and push hard and blah, blah, blah. And for most men, the weight comes off pretty fast. To the anger of many women, it comes off very, very fast. For women, not so fast. For most women, I should say. And the reason why, I believe, is that women, especially the women that I tend to train who are mothers, in some cases grandmothers, they have families they're helping manage, careers they're deeply into. A modern-day westernized woman's mind is just racing constantly. The mind of a woman is thinking about a dozen different things all at once. And pre-pandemic, it produces kind of this constant slow IV drip of cortisol into the bloodstream. And so it makes the body very resistant to accessing those stored body fats to use as energy or to just get rid of them through exercise and just energy consumption as you go through your day. And so because the brain of a woman seems to me, just from my own anecdotal experience here, that's why the woman can't lose weight as fast as the man can, because most westernized men like myself can compartmentalize. When we're away from our jobs, we don't think about our jobs. When we're away from our families, this is kind of taboo to say, but we don't think about our families. When we're away from whatever, we don't, like, whatever the task is at hand, that's what we're thinking about. We're all in on whatever is right in front of us. And it works. It works pretty well in marriages. I think that having those types of those minds, and I'm speaking very, very generally. I'm just speaking out of my own experience. If you're offended, stop listening to this podcast and go pound sand. I don't really want to get into a gender debate right now. But what I'm saying is that's why women tend to lose, have struggles losing weight, because of the cortisol induced by the stress. Now, throw in a pandemic, and now the men are dealing with the same cortisol drip because they're, of course, worried about their families. Now the women have an additional layer of stress thrown on them, and we're all dealing with it together. We're all dealing with this thing that's causing our bodies to keep the weight on and make it harder to get it off, and that is stress. So what do we do? Here's how we're going to go into the new normal. First of all, we have to get serious about naming the enemy, and the enemy's name is stress. And what I invite you to do is an audit. You need to take an audit of your life. Start big. Start big picture. Write this stuff down with good old-fashioned pencil and paper. Or if you use a note app, I use those myself. But let's start big and just name the big stressors in your life. Obviously, the pandemic, the lockdowns, the interruptions of and the cessation of everyday life that we used to know prior to March of this year. So start with those and name those, and then start drilling down. What else is causing you stress? Is it the way in which your family dynamic has been uncovered, unmasked due to the time you've been forced to spend together? Is there something about the way you live every day that you're just really disappointed or frustrated by? Like, man, I can't believe I do this every day. I can't believe that my kids talk to me this way. I can't believe that, fill in the blank, that thing is that's what's causing you stress. See, the thing about this pandemic, as crappy as it's been, is it's been sort of like a mine. And mines produce either coal or jewels from all that pressure, okay? The jewels are hard to come by. You got to dig for them. And it has to have the right makeup, and it's got to be there from the beginning before the pressure comes for it to produce the diamond, the jewel. But the most thing you're going to find is a bunch of coal, a bunch of dirt, a bunch of pressurized rock. And that's what I think is happening right now, is that we've all discovered that we've got a lot of coal and we've got a lot of, you know, stuff that's not so pleasant to look at, maybe stinks in our life that causes stress. And but some of us have some good stuff too. Some of us have discovered that, wow, you know, I really like my kids more than I realized I did. I like my spouse. I love my spouse more than I realized I did. You know what? I actually like working from home. Or hey, this is the one thing I've heard from most parents that I work with, is the thing they love the most is not being busy and not racing off to their kids' sports this and that on every hour of the weekend. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, that people feel, the parents feel so liberated that they don't have to deal with their kids' sports stuff anymore. And I'm tempted to dedicate an entire episode to this topic because I have very strong feelings about kids and sports right now and how incredibly stupid it is that grown-ass adults are dedicating their whole lives, the primes of their lives, to making sure that their kids can play in some soccer league that's got them traveling all over the Midwest or all over the country, showing up for games at like some ungodly hour, like 7 o'clock in the morning, so they can just sit there and watch a bunch of meaningless balls being passed around back and forth. For what? A scholarship? So they can run off and get into college debt and do the same thing? Come on. Don't do this. Don't repeat that. Kids need less structure, not more, right now. And that might be causing stress in your life. Me just talking about it makes me stressed for you. And none of my kids are involved in sports at all. That's how strongly I believe that it's a complete waste of time, a total waste of time. One more little tangent. I'll tell you, I own another business in addition to Body Shepherd. And I'm just going to speak candidly here, okay? I'm smiling as I say this because it's unusual for me to be this candid. Here's the thing. I've always worked with people in that other business who are freelancers or 1099 employees. It means that they are kind of like subcontractors. And I have noticed over the years that every person that I work with who is a self-starter, who just can pick up and go and just get stuff done, can connect dots, very intuitive, knows how to get things done, and does not need me to hold their hand all the time. Those people either didn't play sports at all, were never a team player. You know, maybe in grade school they played baseball or something, but like once they got out of middle school, I mean, just never. They were never serious about sports or anything like that. Those are the people I end up working with for years, okay? The people who are one and done on projects, those who kind of come into the fold and I end up having to hold their hand through every single little step of the way, these are people I call coin-operated employees because they're only going to do exactly and only what I tell them to do. These people love sports. They need the team. They need the coach. They need the discipline. They need to know the play-by-play. They need to know what we're doing next and when we're going to, how we're going to cheat. Like, it is vivid to me as a business owner, and I've been doing this since 2006, whatever number of years that is, that one of the things I like to ask in conversation, just so I have a sense of where we're going to end up, is whether or not they played sports. Because if they're really, really into sports, it's almost always never going to work out. Matter of fact, the next time it does work out will be the first time it works out. So that's just me as an employer from, you know, wearing another hat, that if your kid is really into sports and this quarantine, this lockdown, this year has caused that to surface, you got to address that. You got to lop that off. You got to cut the head off of sports in your family's life, because it is not worth it on any level whatsoever. Your kid is a kid. They're going to figure out a way to entertain themselves, and you'll be fine. You, however, are in the prime of your life. You need to be exercising. You need to be enjoying your life. You need to be putting the time into that hobby. You need to be doing the stuff that's going to create and flourish stuff that's of actual interest and usefulness within your family or within your life, not giving it away to the sidelines of some meaningless sport. The other thing I'll say while I'm on this tangent is gaming. The second thing that I hear most from parents as I train that is a cause of stress is video games. And to me, this is so simple. In my home, I do not allow console video games or PC games, dedicated gaming gear, anything of the sort. Gaming is toxic. Gaming has no use whatsoever. It's a false trigger for endorphins, and it is designed to be addictive by its creators. It is designed to make its players docile, and it is designed to make sure that you stay as hooked on it as you can possibly be. That's gaming. That's why your kid sits around for 8 hours a day gaming, and when you try to take it away, they freak out. It's because you've just ripped out the IV. And any addict that goes cold turkey on their source of endorphin, source of whatever it is they're hooked on, yeah, that's what happens. They go crazy. So you have to wean them off. But I'm just telling you, like, this is another thing that if you can find out that gaming is causing stress in your life, you need to wean your kid off of it. Start by limiting the number of hours per day or whatever, but get console gaming out of your house. It's toxic. There's nothing good or valuable to it. It is the cause of it, at least a sedentary life. You're doing nothing but just sitting there playing a game that has absolutely no value to yourself, to your society, to your neighborhood, to your family. It's a waste of your time. It's a complete waste of your time. So get off of gaming if that's your thing. And one final source of stress that keeps coming up that I'll mention just before we wrap up this portion is social media. Social media, I think, is another source of stress that we have to look at and say, is this worth it? Is it worth it to take your brain, come up with a thought, put it out there, and have someone else react to it, and y'all never have any kind of reaction that is actually human? And by that, I mean like nonverbal, physical, just the normal means of communication. Especially for those of you who've had very little in-person time with the person you're corresponding with on social media, let alone arguments or anything like that. I think one of the wisest things that I did when the quarantines began was I took a hard look at stress, at the big stressors. And for me, it came down to Facebook, Twitter, and national news. And I didn't mess around. I completely cut those out of my life immediately. I think before March 20th, I want to say it was March 18th, is the day that I completely cut social media. I decided to cut social media down to just Instagram and LinkedIn. And I have reasons for doing that. It's far more personal. But Facebook had to go. Twitter had to go. TikTok, Snap, everything had to go. And I just had to boil it down to that which was actually constructive to my life and not a constant drain. The other thing I had to get rid of was national news. Look, there's a big election happening this year. I get it. There's obviously the national big data stories of the pandemic. But what's happening in New York or Dallas or Los Angeles or Chicago has no bearing on me whatsoever. What I care about is my community and my local news. That's what I decided to only pay attention to. And whatever happens on the world stage or the national stage, if it's important enough, I'll eventually hear about it. But I don't need to know the play-by-play every single day. I don't need to know what's going on in Washington every day. It's going to disappoint me no matter what. So why don't I just check a box that just says, the government disappoints me, the end. Done. That's all the news I need nationally. Now, things will come up now and then that impact my business, tax law and things like that, that actually impact my business. Fine, I'll pay attention to that. But this constant drip of stress every single day, I had to get rid of that. So in summary, what I think the new normal looks like is those of us who care about our physical, spiritual, and mental health, we have to take a hard look at the enemy, and the enemy's name is stress. Now, on the plus side, I'd like to cover a couple things that we can do to be positive changes we can make after we've addressed the negative. The first positive thing that you can do is get more sleep. Sleep is magical, and good sleep is going to come after you get rid of those stresses that I mentioned before. We have to start with the negative because you have to prune that tree before it's going to grow, okay? That's just the fact of the matter. You have to get the weeds out before your garden flourishes. So you got to get rid of the stress before the positive stuff can really take hold in your life. And the first thing is sleep. Once you get rid of that stress and once you start practicing getting to bed at a decent hour, you know, maybe taking advantage of a nap when you can afford it, when you can get it in there and make time for one, but sleep is so valuable. I'm not even going to get into all that your body does during sleep to repair muscle, to balance hormones, to repair skin. I mean, sleep is so wonderful. And it is it's well worth your investment to be hypervigilant about what you need to get sleep. This is another area where you need to take a long look at, hey, what's the environment that I sleep best in? I can tell you, I know this for a fact. I know that I need a room that is around 68 degrees, sub 70 for sure. Otherwise, I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to toss and turn because I have a high body heat just naturally. I need it cold in the room, so around 68 or less. I need a really warm blanket that I can wrap real tight around my body. I shave my head, so I actually sleep with like a skull cap on to keep my head nice and warm. I have a number of factors that go into the way that I sleep, and I'm not afraid to be hypervigilant about that and to protect that because sleep is so vital, so important to making sure that I'm physically, spiritually, and mentally in the best shape that I can possibly be. So proactively, positively, deal with sleep. The next thing is food. Of course, I've talked at length about this through, 12 episodes in the free nutrition guide over on bodyshepherd.com. But food is a big thing. And you like me, we probably have let ourselves go with some stress eating throughout all of this, and that's fine. And, you know, we're gonna have that. We have to just accept that that is part of what happens during these rare life moments, and we'll just accept it for what it is. So deal with your food. Take a look at your food. See if there's something that you could start by doing. Maybe it's your drinks. I recently worked with a client who was just really struggling with food or with his weight. He had hit a plateau. And we were just going through on a text thread, just trying to figure out like what is going on. I mean, he's just killing it with his workouts and his nutrition seemed to be in check. And I said, just kind of as a last resort, I said, well, talk to me about what are you drinking? And we through a series of Q&A, we figured out that, oh, he's drinking some energy drinks. And I just had kind of an informed gut sense to say, hey, let's just try going 2 weeks without anything but like black coffee and water. And let's see what that does. And let's just get rid of the triggers from artificial sweeteners and stuff like that. So he did that. And I think I'd have to go back and look at the text for sure, but I think it was around 7 pounds that he got rid of right away from being able to just focus in on the hard training and the good eating, but drinking, changing what, and he wasn't even drinking alcohol. Alcohol is another story entirely. But anyway, focus on your nutrition. Maybe it's time to dust off that Lose It app that I've talked about before and start tracking your food. Maybe you don't need to track every morsel or every gram of food you eat, but maybe just seeing a general log of what you're eating every single day might help you see that, oh, wow, like I am eating a lot more than I realized I was, and I need to kind of tighten it up. So take a look at food after you've taken a look at sleep. And then last are your relationships. by this, I mean start with your family. You start with your spouse, your kids. You need to look at the people who are around you. I'm talking about the people you work with. I'm talking about your extended family, friends. This, of course, touches on social media because this is how we communicate with each other quite a bit. But beyond that, I'm talking about your relationships. Who are the people in your life that are causing you stress? Who are the people in your life that are doing so and they might not even realize it? Who are the people that you can just sit down and talk to and say, we need to change the dynamic of our relationship and see where that goes? Because right now, if you think about it, everything that I've mentioned so far in this episode is something that everyone is dealing with to some degree or another. And so as we come into contact with each other, we're definitely going to be rubbing each other the wrong way. Look, I know that I cause stress in other people. I know I have a very contrarian personality. I have the type of personality that people either love me or hate me. I rarely encounter a person who is indifferent about after they've spent some time with me. It's just the way that I am. I don't know why. It's just the way it is. And I am happy to exit the life of anyone that I cause stress with. I really am. At this point in my life, I'm okay with losing and gaining people in whatever pace that is. I'd rather be surrounded with just a few people who are my true tribe, people that I can really pour into them, they can pour into me, we can be a positive force for each other, than trying to be someone that causes stress, or being someone who causes stress in people's lives, they in mine, blah, blah, blah. I'd rather not have a lot of people in my life and just say, you know what, you go have a great life. We're not going to talk. We're not going to see each other on social media because I'm ditching you there too. And I'm doing that so that the next time that we see each other, whether it's in the afterlife or whether it's 10 years from now, we run into each other at some event, I want to be able to ask with honesty and integrity, how have you been? And not know because we've been, you know, stalking each other on social media. I want to have that kind of ignorance that I don't know how you've been because we haven't known each other. So there is a benefit to cutting people off or parting ways. You know, cutting off is a really harsh way of saying it. I think we need to change our language. So like departing from people for a while, the whole concept of staying united with people indefinitely is new, like 15 years new or less in the history of humanity. It's actually very healthy and appropriate and common to depart from people for seasons or for good. That's the way life has gone until around what, 2003, 2004, when MySpace came along and the whole social media era really kicked in from that point forward. So like 15, 17 years, something like that, we've been constantly connected to each other and we're all more miserable than we ever have been. So feel free to prune your garden. Feel free to get in there and just say, you know what? This quarantine has showed me that I'm just not wired to be connected to everyone all the time that I've ever known in my entire life. And I need to just narrow it down to like, I don't know, 20 to 50 people, something like that. So those are some causes those are some positive things you can do from dealing with stress. And how you come into this new normal is going to be based on how you deal with stress, because it is impacting every part of your life. And here's the final word on all of this, okay? I think this is the one glaring positive thing that's come out of all of this, is that 2020 is the great reset. If ever you have needed an excuse to reset your life, reset relationships, reset how you deal with stress, reset family dynamics, reset what you consume in your mind, reset every part of that. If ever there was a time to do it, 2020 is your excuse. And no one will bat a freaking eye at you for saying, you know what, after the pandemic and everything and the lockdowns, I'm coming out of this and I'm seeing a lot of changes I got to make. This is it. If you've been waiting for a moment in your life to make drastic, big changes that are going to have, you know, some kind of lasting impact on your health, physical, spiritual, mental health, on your stress, family dynamics, on your life in general, your career, this is it. This is that moment that you've needed and you've wanted for a long time. Seize it. Take it. I did, and I'm very happy. And I think that the people that I work with Body Shepherd, we're trying to sustain a weight loss. Yes, we are losing weight. We're getting fitter and stuff like that. But man, that is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much underneath it that has to be addressed. And that is what I've been talking about in this entire episode that is wrapping up season number 3. Thank you for listening to this. This is one of the longest episodes I've produced because I had a lot to say. This is all serious stuff. I hope that it's been somewhat useful to you. If not, that's okay too. Season number 4, I'm underway right now recording. It's a series of interviews. And I have some really, really great people that I am positive you are going to gain a lot of insights from. It's not going to just be me monologuing, as I've done for the first 3 seasons. We're going to hear from some true experts, from some people who have been on their own weight loss journey and done some interesting things with it. We're going to hear from some specialists, from some professionals in fields that you probably didn't associate with weight loss right away. I'm excited about how it's shaping up, and I invite you to subscribe and rate if that's your thing. And join me for season 4 when it drops soon. In the meanwhile, please press onward. See ya.